from the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Thursday, June 26th. I'm Jonathan Aul. Native Americans in the U.S. lost much of their land by the 20th century, with even portions of their reservations sold. But in the Midwest, more tribes are reclaiming their ancestral lands.
To see that happen in my lifetime is something that I thought I would never experience.
How the land back movement has gained momentum in recent years. That story's coming up on The Gateway. Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey has started a legal process that could oust St. Louis Sheriff Alfred Montgomery. As St. Louis Public Radio's Chad Davis reports, Bailey alleges the sheriff has misused his office.
Bailey listed six allegations, including unlawful detainment, nepotism, and failing to transport detainees from the city jail for medical care. It also alleges he used a sheriff's deputy to drive his kids from school and failed to manage his office's finances. Montgomery said Tuesday that he wouldn't resign. Bailey says his office is seeking more information as the investigation continues and created a tip line for whistleblowers. He says these are serious charges.
I submit to you that each of these counts standing alone warrants removal from office.
A lawyer for Montgomery disputed those charges and says Montgomery will fight these in court. I'm Chad Davis, St. Louis Public Radio.
Advocates are calling for more summer protections for utility customers after a woman died in a hot apartment. St. Anne police found 55-year-old Shauna Thomas dead Monday. Police said her power had been disconnected earlier in June. Consumer Counsel of Missouri's Sandra Padgett wants a summer-long pause on electric shutoffs.
With the number of disconnections that have occurred and the high temperatures that we're experiencing, I'm not surprised at all that someone died. What surprises and shocks me is that there wasn't more planning to prevent this.
A spokesperson said Ameren cannot share customer account details. There's help available on Ameren's website for customers who can't afford their bills. Residents seeking financial assistance after last month's tornado can still get help. St. Louis Public Radio's Hiba Ahmed explains what's available and what people can keep an eye out for in the coming weeks.
As city and state officials are still figuring out the best way to get disaster relief funds to residents, St. Louisans are encouraged to get their applications in to the Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA. The deadline to apply is August 11th. The American Red Cross also has financial assistance for people whose homes were badly damaged or completely destroyed during the storm. That deadline is July 3rd. Sharon Watson is the communications director for the American Red Cross in Missouri and Arkansas.
It doesn't matter if you've already applied to someone else and received that assistance. Ours is a standalone assistance that's available to people.
Residents can visit redcross.org/get help or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to apply. I'm Hiba Ahmed, St. Louis Public Radio.
Two additional disaster recovery centers with FEMA staff are opening in St. Louis to help people affected by the May tornado. Sumner High School will host a location that opens today, and the Urban League Entrepreneurship and Women's Business Center on Natural Bridge Road will open a center on Monday. These are in addition to the already open location at Union Tabernacle MB Church. At all locations, FEMA and the U.S. Small Business Administration will help impacted residents with their disaster assistance applications, answer questions, and upload required documents. An incoming senior at the Whitfield School in Creve Coeur won first place in his category at the National Eye Institute's Eye on the Future Teen Video Contest. St. Louis Public Radio's Olivia Mizell reports.
Jack Lynch gained a passion for video editing when he was 12 years old. His love for fishing started long before that at his grandpa's house in Cape Girardeau. When he had a chance to combine these passions in his final project for his physics class, he jumped at the opportunity to submit a video about bass and bluegill vision to the NEI. He says most students are not engaged in school.
I think a way to counteract that is, you know, giving kids the opportunity to incorporate their passion into a project, into homework, because not only are they going to be building skills with that, they're also going to be more engaged, they're going to be more thoughtful.
His contest win also came with an A on his physics project, which he says was just as exciting. I'm Olivia Mizell, St. Louis Public Radio.
Over the past decade, there's been more momentum behind the land back movement, where Native tribes try to regain ancestral lands. In one of the latest cases, the state of Illinois returned land to the Prairie Band Potawatomi that was illegally sold nearly 200 years ago. Harvest Public Media contributor Peter Medlin reports on a growing land back movement in the Midwest and the different ways tribes actually get their land returned.
Raphael Wawusik drives through Chief Shabanoff Forest Preserve in northern Illinois. He's a member of the Prairie Band Potawatomi's Tribal Council and a direct descendant of the chief, whose name the Prairie Band pronounces Shabni.
If this is accurate, that this was the site where his cabin was, then within a few hundred yards, you know, I've got some family members that are buried out in these woods here.
The Prairie Band were removed from Illinois in the 19th century, and their reservation's now in Kansas. But in 2024, the federal government put land the tribe purchased in trust, making the Prairie Band Illinois' first federally recognized tribal nation. And this year, they got even more land back when Illinois passed a law transferring ownership of the neighboring Shabanaugh Lake State Park to the tribe.
You know, my family have been coming up here for almost the two centuries since we've been forced out. And to see that happen in my lifetime is something that I thought I would never experience.
Recently, other Midwest tribes have successfully gotten land back through various means. Just last year, Minnesota returned a state park to the Dakota tribe, and Congress passed a law returning land to the Winnebago in Iowa. Kevin Washburn served as Assistant Secretary of Indian Affairs in the Obama administration and is a citizen of the Chickasaw Nation. And he says that while the movement has gotten more public attention lately, it is not new.
Tribes have been wanting their land back probably since before the ink was dried on the original treaties where they ceded that land.
And tribes lost even more land after the Dawes Act in 1887, which broke commonly owned reservations into individual parcels. In the allotment era, about 65% of reservation land fell out of native hands. And today, tribes own around 60 million acres across the U.S., which is about the size of the state of Oregon. And while some have had land returned by states and the federal government, Washburn says that is not the norm.
The most common way that tribes get land back is they go out and buy the land.
Many tribes have made buying land back a priority. Nicole Rummel is with the Oneida Nation's Land Management Department. They're a tribe just outside of Green Bay, Wisconsin.
In 82, that's when the tribe approved every carton of cigarettes being sold. 30 cents of that went to land acquisition. So that's really what started money going back into being able to buy land.
They now operate a casino as well, and they've been able to purchase back nearly half of the reservation land they lost. But tribes can face other challenges even when they can purchase land. In 2023, when the federal government put 500 acres of land the Oneida Nation owned into trust, a Wisconsin village sued in part because of lost tax revenue. The case is in federal court. And sometimes people take advantage of how important it is for tribes to restore their homelands. Matthew Wiesaw is the tribal chair of the Pokagon Band Potawatomi, which has land in Michigan and Indiana.
One of the biggest difficulties is when people find out it's the Pokagon Band that's looking to purchase the land, the price gets really jacked up. So we have to deal with that. So we have to do a lot of stuff under the cover of different entities.
Wiesaw says they don't buy land just to buy land. They focus on sacred places like old villages, historic sites, and burial grounds. And back in Illinois, Raphael Wawusik looks out across Shabanaugh Lake, which was once part of a Prairie Band village. And even though the tribe was forced off this land so long ago, he says he still feels a strong connection to this place. His family always has.
For me, I didn't need the piece of paper to really drive that home. That's something that has been instilled in me since I was a young boy, that this is part of our home as well.
And as the land back movement picks up steam, he hopes more tribes will be able to return to their ancestral homes. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Peter Medlin.
Hector Alejandro Azarte contributed to that story. Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains, including St. Louis Public Radio. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Jonathan Ohl, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.